Blog Talk Radio.
I just returned from my fourth trip to India. The country has the second largest population in the world. The more I travel there, the more I realize I still know little about the world, its history, and its people. I clamor to return next February. And even after 30 years as a diversity professional, I can't wait to get back there and learn more. The highlights for me was seeing the majesty of Fort Agra and the Taj Mahal. Their beauty and archaeological genius surpassed anything I have ever seen in my lifetime. Jewels embedded into marble walls, intricate patterns and designs carved out of a single slab of marble, and symmetry that allows the viewer to see the Taj Mahal at many angles from a distance. The educational center we support in South India, the people and their spirit keep me connected to countries like India. Today's show gives you travel tips and many reasons why you should pack a bag and head off for a distant land. Stop yielding to your fears or the barrage of news reports that spike your anxiety. Go on and pack a bag. The cultural lessons will be worth the investment of your time, energy, and money. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas back from India, and thank you for your patience during our absence. I really wanted to actually broadcast twice, last Thursday and the previous Thursday, but just technologically and logistically didn't have an opportunity to do so. First of all, I'm on East Coast time, and India is 10 and a half hours ahead of us. So it would have been obviously a totally different time period, 11:30 at night. I had responsibilities as a tour guide, having to get people up in the morning, and we were gone literally all day long. So I said, I'll pass on this opportunity. I'm going to be going back at some point, and certainly when I travel alone, it will give me more of a chance to do a show on the road like this. So I apologize for the delay. But I certainly want to assure you that for the next several weeks, we have many, many things to discuss. It is just an incredible experience. This, as I said in my setup and write-up, this was my fourth trip to India. And the more I go there, the more I realize there's so much more that I need to learn about this fascinating country where their history, their civilization goes back as much as 10,000 years. So we'll talk to you about that in just a few seconds. I came back to reality here in the Boston area, house being intact. My daughter and son-in-law did a great job keeping things going, so I don't leave an empty house. I certainly have lots of activity going on here. And we're also planning on next week's Black History Breakfast on March 16th. It's going to be exciting. I have many people who are going to be coming. Marjorie Jones is our keynote speaker. We have 11 just incredible people who have been stalwarts in the community who are going to be honored. And all of that information and tickets are still available. You can go to msfconnect.com to get all that information, msfconnect.com. It's going to be an exciting time. This is our 24th breakfast, and it certainly is not going to be our last. So we certainly hope that you will be in attendance if you live in the greater Boston area. And if you don't, just send your well wishes our way so that we'll have a very, very exciting time at the Black History Breakfast. We do it in March now because the weather is unpredictable in February. I've looked ahead at the weather forecast, and I think it's going to be decent weather. It may snow the day before, but hopefully we will have weather that will allow us to get out and have a great time and honor these wonderful individuals who we are going to recognize at great length at the Black History Breakfast. I'm going to go on and call their names out now because they're worth it, and I just want you to know who we're celebrating. The theme is going to be a salute to civil rights, social justice, and the Black Church. Let me take this wrapping out, and so I can not miss anybody. I had a wonderful interview on Channel 7 here in Boston. Did my best to call everybody's name and miss the name, so I don't want to do that this time. It was a wonderful interview with Carmen Shields. We'll post it on the website shortly. But we are honoring civic leaders and community individuals who have just served the community well, including Professor Charles Ogletree, who is well known in the Harvard Law School community and also a senior advisor to our past president, Barack Obama. We're honoring Liz Walker for her extraordinary talents as a former news anchor woman, and now she's pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian Church, and she'll bring her church members with her that day. Bishop John Borders, who is the illustrious pastor of Morningstar Baptist Church here in the Boston area. Reverend Dr. Ray and Reverend Gloria White Hammond, the co-pastors of Bethel AME Church in Boston, and humanitarians in their own right. We're going to honor their daughter, Mariama White Hammond, Reverend Mariama White Hammond. She is a young and up-and-coming ministerial student, also very concerned about the environment and a real social activist. The pastor of the historic Charles Street AME Church, Gregory Groover, will be our honoree next Thursday, along with the pastor emeritus of 12th Baptist Church, Reverend Dr. Michael Haynes, and he was a contemporary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when Dr. King was a graduate student here in Boston. The president and CEO of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts, Darnell Williams, will be honored, along with the incoming, as she's now been installed, and the immediate past president of the Boston branch of the NAACP, attorney Tanisha Sullivan and attorney Michael Curry. So that's the lineup for next week, and our keynote speaker again is the Professor Emerita of Lesley University, the Director of Christian Education at Charles Street AME Church, and the Conference Director of the Board of Christian Ed for the New England Annual Conference of the AME Church, Reverend Dr. Marjorie Jones. It's going to be an exciting time next week. Go to MSSConnect.com for the details and get your ticket. So I got back from India last Friday afternoon, just filled with excitement, filled with so many new stories, and filled with the reality that the more I realize, the more I know about India, the more I realize I don't know about it. So it's a real incentive for me to return every February, taking a new group of eager travelers, and some of the travelers are returning travelers, just so that we can explore the subcontinent. They actually call India the subcontinent because it is a large geographical mass that's part of Asia, and so it is referred to as the subcontinent. It actually is a peninsula. But nobody calls it that. They actually call it the subcontinent. So whenever you hear that terminology, typically they're referring to India. India civilization goes back literally 10,000 years with various kingdoms. It was a very large landmass, including what is now known as Pakistan, Bangladesh. The connection also went as far as Afghanistan in terms of conquerors who came down from Central Asia and then occupied part of North India under the Mughal dynasty. So we started off our journey in southern India, where I've now been four times, in the Chennai area, Chennai is the fourth largest city in India with 10 million people in the metro area. The city goes back to the mid-1600s. It was obviously a trading post when the British came with the company. They set up shop and established Chennai as a city. It is on the coast, so it is a commercial port, very active port, and extremely important to the economic well-being of the country. Chennai is also one of the large cities, and it is part of the state of Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu is one of the 29 states of India. So think about the U.S. Most of my listeners are from the U.S. We have 50 states. India has 29 states, and in fact, the 29th state was just declared a state over the last 2 or 3 years. And Chennai is a large city in Tamil Nadu. The Tamil people, again, this is southeastern India, are an old civilization going back hundreds of years, and they speak Tamil. So unlike the United States, where we have 50 states, and in all 50 states, the universal language is English, in India, even though English is a national language, it is not the universal language throughout the country, because there are other languages that are as important as English, Hindi being one of them. So Hindi is spoken throughout the country. But many of the people who we encounter, particularly in South India, do not speak English and they do not speak Hindi. They speak Tamil. That's the language of Tamil Nadu. And there's even an ancestral connection with Sri Lanka, because there are Tamil people in Sri Lanka. There was a horrible war that was fought over the 80s and 90s that involved the Tamil people called the Tamil Tigers. That's another show. But they are in some ways connected to the Tamil people in South India. And I've learned all this since going over there a couple of times. Again, the history is just amazing. So that's one state, a very important state, but that's in South India. The food, and they're actually on the coast, so it's Southeast India. The food in South India is somewhat different than North India. The dress, again, the language, there are differences based on the states that you visit. And while we were there, we had the pleasure of visiting with our friends who host our trip, Reverend Sarah and Reverend Abraham Padini. Just great friends who have exposed us to so many of the cultures and the customs in the area. And because our work is humanitarian, we also work with the Dalits. Now, you know, there's an active caste system in India. We'll probably do a show on that at some point in the future. But with that caste system come privileges for some and disadvantages for others. And those who are disadvantaged, unfortunately, don't have the opportunity of moving up in society, even educationally or economically. There are barriers to mobility because of the caste system, which hopefully in time will be eradicated. But it is what it is. And so some of those wonderful people we actually connect with, we meet with, and that's part of the Dalit community. Those are the people at the bottom of the caste system, known also as the untouchables or the outcast. And even if you are born an outcast, you remain an outcast. There's no upward mobility in the caste structure. And that's the unfortunate reality of that particular system. So because I am part of the Methodist Church, the AME Church, and we have 150 AME churches in India, another show as well. And again, you can go to my website, carolcopelandthomas.com, and learn more about the history of our churches in India. We now have a connection through the Padinis with Siramani Village, which is a small village. About 450 families live there, all Dalits, all part of the Dalit community. It's a very neat, quiet community, probably an hour and a half's drive outside of Chennai. So we go there and we support an educational center called the Bethel AME Educational Center in Thirumani Village. And the exciting thing is actually seeing the children every year now grow up. Now I'm seeing these kids grow up. Last year I got their report cards. I'm learning more about their families. And when we return next year, I plan on spending the whole day in this village. We meet with the widows. We have a chance to talk with them, get to know them a little bit. The children were in school this year, so as they came home from school, they had their clothes, their regular clothes on, and they performed for us. And then we pass out goodies and snacks to the children. The widows, we passed out rice at their request. Typically, in the past, we've given them mats to sleep on, but they wanted food, and they wanted rice, which will sustain their families for quite some time. That was just an exciting visit and just always delightful to be with them, give them hugs and kisses, and learn more. All my pictures, the whole narration of the trip is going to be at my travel website. That's msstravelandtours.com. msstravelandtours.com, and they will be at the website in the next, let's say, 2 weeks or so once I have a chance to upload everything. So I promise you travel tips. What I can say in terms of a travel tip is spend some time in a community. It's nice to hop around the globe and go to one place once, but you're learning process is going to be short term. You're not going to learn as much as you could if, in fact, you visit a community or a region or a city or a county more than once. So pick a place in the world that you want to learn more about. You can hop, skip, and jump around the rest of the world, but see if you can come back to a community so that you can really enhance your learning, get to know the people, and build relationships, as I am trying to do along with those who travel with me to India, and particularly to South India. Now, we also had a chance to go to a union territory. Now, see, there are 29 states in India, and there's 7 union territories. Pondicherry is a union territory. So if you can think of the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., it's not a state, it's a city. It's a part of the United States, but it's more of a federal territory, per se. They have similar kind of relationships in India. And Pondicherry used to be a French colony several hundred years ago, and the French influence is heavily seen in Pondicherry. We also went to an ashram in Pondicherry, a very interesting ashram. I'll leave it at that. It was quite interesting. We visited 2 of their sites there and then saw the marvelous architecture, the buildings. It felt like you were in New Orleans or France when you looked at many of the buildings there. We didn't have a chance to really taste any of the French cuisine. I'd love to go back and do that. We did have delicious food in Pondicherry as we did in Chennai and the other cities that we visited. But that was a great trip that we explored and went on. So then after all of our dealings and our great friends that we visited with, the Padinis in Thirumani Village, we went to Mahamallapuram, which is a very touristy kind of area, also about maybe an hour plus outside of Chennai. They have great architectural features there, a huge stone that's literally, it looks like it's about to fall, but it's not, and it's another architectural magnificent appearance there in that area. So we took pictures and just had fun there. So half of my group came home after the first week, and then the other half continued on to North India. We also met one of our travelers in North India. So you fly from Chennai, 2.5-hour flight on, we went on Air India, and our other flight was on Emirates. We have been flying on Emirates for 4 years. I've actually partnered with them. They were one time a sponsor. Love their flight attendants. They're fun. They're professional, just great folks. I took pictures with them on the flight coming back home. So Emirates is our main airline, and then in the country we flew on Air India, which was a nice flight. It really was. There are other flights, other air carriers that travel domestically in India, but we had a great time on Air India. Flew into Delhi and then went on just a package tour that started off in Delhi, realized that Delhi really was made up of seven different sort of city sites, and Delhi is also a union territory. Just like Pondicherry, it is a union territory, and it is also the capital of India. Like Washington, D.C., is the capital of the U.S. So there are now two remaining geographical sites, one New Delhi, one Old Delhi, and five other sites that have been destroyed over time. So you have to understand that India has been conquered by many countries several thousand years. And the imprint has been left on the country with the people who have been there, just like the Portuguese came over to an area called Goa, which is also a union territory, and left its impression on that country. Delhi, the same thing. The conquerors came into Delhi, and now you have New Delhi and Old Delhi. Parliament and the buildings, the place where we stayed, are in New Delhi. And Old Delhi includes the spice markets. I bought some spices there. I just love to go back there and learn more about the spices and how food is prepared using these spices. But I did buy some while I was there. And we went other places in Delhi. We went to the monument, the Memorial Park, where Mahatma Gandhi was cremated. Back in 1948 when he was assassinated shortly after the country had been declared independent from the Brits, from the United Kingdom, and went to several other places. Again, magnificent buildings and structures, and just a great tour guide was our tour guide. A great job. We then traveled to Agra. Agra is about a three-hour drive from Delhi to Agra. And again, you're talking about an amazing drive where you have rice fields and you have greenery and you've got skyscrapers next to cows walking down the road and ox-driven carts. And many of the villages use cow manure that have been processed and put into patties, and they use that for cooking. So they're already recycling in ways that you may laugh at, but I've also heard about reports now where human waste is going to be used for fertilizers in the future. So laugh on, India is already well on their way in terms of recycled materials, and all the cows that are walking around, they're using not only their milk that we drink, but also their manure for fertilizer and for patties that are used for cooking. And we saw lots of those patties along the road. You go into Agra, and then we had a great tour guide, Chitwan, who took us to various sites, including Fort Agra, which was just breathtaking. I turned around in the van, and our van driver was Bharat, who was great, funny, great sense of humor, and a very skilled driver. And I saw this magnificent, huge sandstone structure, which is known as Fort Agra. It's just spectacular. At one time, it was a working fort during the Mughal times when the Muslims ruled North India. There were 10,000 people who lived in that fort. There were a series of rulers related to each other. And the ultimate ruler who built the Taj Mahal lived in Fort Agra. And so you learn a lot about the history there. And then we saw the next day, which was Tuesday, February 28th. You have to get up very early in the morning. You get there, the lines are long, and you see the magnificence of the Taj Mahal. It is spectacular. white marble with jewels embedded into the walls. Now, for those of you who hear the name Taj Mahal, and you probably don't know, it is literally it's a grave site. It's a grave site for one of the wives of the rulers during that time. She had 13 children, and during the birth of the 14th child, she died, and I believe the baby probably died also. And she was beloved by that ruler, who then decided to create a monument in her honor, which now is the Taj Mahal. So she is buried there. Now, during that time, he was being imprisoned in Fort Agra. There was a political fight with his sons, and one of the sons actually imprisoned him. And so he stayed in prison, but he had a chance to see the building of the Taj Mahal. Took 20 years to build, 22,000 people to build it. And ultimately, when he died, he was then buried next to his favorite wife. And so when you go to the Taj, you go inside, you see two tombs. And again, marvelous tile tombs, one representing his wife and one representing this particular ruler. But those are not the actual burial places. They actually have them buried underneath in a secret compartment where viewers can't see them at all. But the architecture, the symmetry of the buildings, just spectacular, absolutely spectacular. We then went on and drove 4 hours or so to Jaipur, which is in another state. Now, I should say that we were in Agra, which is in the state of Uttar Pradesh, which is the most populous state in India. And the neighboring state is Rajasthan, which is geographically the largest geographical state in India. Fascinating people. Even the way the saris are worn, different. Very colorful people. There's a desert area, a very large desert area that I'd like to get back to. And Govan was our great tour guide in Rajasthan, in Jaipur, which is a very famous city called the Pink City, because all the buildings there are painted pink. You still have the sandstone, but all of them are painted pink. So we went on an elephant ride that scared me to death. I had fun after that. Again, more forts, there's a lot of resources in Rajasthan. There are a lot of Hindu rulers who were there. And again, a fascinating city, Jaipur, and state, Rajasthan, that we had a chance to see. We then drove back to Delhi and then flew back home on the 3rd. So that's a long and short of our trip. But if I were to give you more tips, I would say do whatever you can to study up on a country before you leave. And please don't believe everything that you hear in the news. I know that there's some people who are terrified. They don't want to leave the country now. Yes, we have political issues. Yes, I was not very happy talking about our present president, the Trump administration. That's a whole nother story. The world is very concerned about Donald Trump and where he's leading us. And so we had to endure those kind of conversations. But I would say if you are an American and you're part of the 70% of Americans who have never had a passport, you don't travel anywhere, save your money, get a passport, and get out of the Western Hemisphere. The Caribbean islands is not enough. You need to go farther. Go somewhere where you can learn about different cultures, different customs, and you'll have a chance to see what's similar and what's different from who you are and what you're all about And I know we're going to continue this conversation, not next week because my breakfast is next week, but certainly when I come back from having a great breakfast next week. Thanks so much for listening to this show. Go to my website and learn more about the travel experiences that I've shared with you, the breakfast, and ways that I can serve your community as a speaker and a trainer. Thanks. Have a great week. This is Carol signing off.